Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Thanks for joining us this morning. On the show today, we're going to have a little fun. We'll be talking about Zozobra. The Fiesta de Santa Fe kicks off tonight in Santa Fe with the burning, the annual burning of Zozobra or Old Man Gloom. There's my mariachi music. Joining me in the studio this morning to talk about the history of Zozobra and share some of his childhood memories, Andrew Leo Lovato. He is the author of Elvis Romero and Fiesta de Santa Fe, which features a short story, Zozobra's Great Escape. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, great. Good to be here, Elaine.
Good, good. Thanks so much for joining me this morning. So let's start off briefly with, set us up with a little bit of the history of Zozobra. I mean, I was talking to some people in preparing for this show and thinking, you know, we have this story of Will Schuster burning Zozobra in his backyard the first time back in the 20s. What was going on in New Mexico in the 20s that spurred the creation of this practice of Zozobra?
Well, there were some big changes going on, actually, in Santa Fe. One of the things that was happening was a lot of people from the eastern part of the United States were migrating to Santa Fe. In particular, there was a migration of the art colony, the Santa Fe art colony. And these were a group of free-thinking artists and writers who'd been drawn to Santa Fe in search of a more meaningful lifestyle rather than the Industrial Revolution that was taking place in the eastern United States. And many of these disaffected newcomers were artists, writers, photographers, who were part of what you might call the Roaring Twenties Cultural Revolution. And so they came to Santa Fe, and they wanted to make their mark on the fiesta. And so one of the artists from that group was Will Schuster. And there were a number of changes made to the fiesta, Zozobra being one of them, but also the historical hysterical parade that goes on, the children's pet parade. A lot of these kinds of things were actually brought in by these new implants into Santa Fe.
So we're asking that you think back for a moment to the first time you saw Zozobra. Maybe you were a child, or maybe you brought your children to Zozobra recently in, you know, the past couple years or so and had an interesting experience with them. Call in and join the conversation with us this morning. The number is 277-5866 in the Albuquerque area. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can also send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. We did receive some calls on our listener comment line from some KUNM listeners sharing some stories. We'll be getting to those shortly. Talk to me a little bit more, Andrew, about how Will Schuster and his crew at the time came up with the idea to burn a puppet, a wood and paper puppet. What possessed them?
Right. Well, actually, the belief is that Will Schuster had seen a reenactment of something similar in Mexico prior to making his own Zozobra, and this was the burning of a Judas figure by the Mexicans, and he thought that was a grand idea. And so he took that idea and brought it to Santa Fe, the idea of burning off the negativity, the bad, and starting with new beginnings. So in 1924, he actually built a puppet in his backyard for just a few friends. And the next year, with the help of the editor of the New Mexican, a man by the name of E. Dana Johnson, they increased the puppet size to 18 feet and gave it the name of Zozobra, which roughly translates into gloomy or anguished one. And in 1926 was the first public burning that took place, and a fiesta tradition was born.
So what, as you understand it, what was causing this interest in dispelling doom and gloom and anxiety? I mean, does this have to do with economic conditions in the 20s?
Yeah, well, I think what it was a general idea during the 20s. This was a time of cultural change, and the idea of new beginnings was very much a part of the overall culture, a lot like the 60s. The 20s and the 60s have a lot in common. And I think the idea of beginning fiesta, beginning celebration with a sense of optimism and that positivity was a natural.
And you talked about some of the newcomers to the Southwest that had to do a little bit with the railroad, I guess, and the way that the railroad increased transportation out to the West in the late 1800s, so that by the time the 20s rolled around, there was a larger population of Easterners and also more Anglo people in New Mexico. Can you talk a little bit about this? You know, some of the traditions that had existed in New Mexico when we talk about the Fiesta de Santa Fe, which I believe the first was 1712, is that right?
Right?
So we're coming up on the anniversary next year. So what were Will Schuster and his friends thinking about when they were creating Zozobra in the context of Fiesta de Santa Fe?
Sure. Well, the history of the Fiesta is really fascinating. It began as a religious event. And in 1712, this fiesta was begun as a way of commemorating La Conquistadora, which is she's really the center of the fiesta, and Don Diego de Vargas's relationship with Conquistadora.
This is one of the iterations of the Virgin Mary.
Exactly.
Right.
And she basically came over during the when the Spaniards. Their reconquest in 1692 and 1693 after the Pueblo Revolt in 1680. And Vargas wanted to hold an annual celebration in honor of La Conquistadora. And after his death in 1708, some of his close allies decided that they would set up a fiesta or an honor in honor of her and in honor of Vargas's memory as well. And so the official starting date is 1712 for the fiesta, but it went through many changes. For example, in 1883, it turned into something quite different. It became a more commercialized fiesta, and it was merged with the 4th of July celebrations. And it became a civic celebration. So by the time Will Schuster and his group came into Santa Fe, something had happened that had changed it a bit. The Museum of New Mexico had appropriated the celebration in some ways, and they were charging admission to the fiesta. This made a lot of the locals unhappy and also a lot of the people from this art colony, and they decided, well, we're going to have our own alternate fiesta that's not controlled by the museum. And they call this alternate fiesta Pasatiempo. And so the Pasatiempo events included the burning of Zozobra. It included the children's parade, all of these things. And eventually this was merged with a traditional fiesta and becomes a fiesta that we know today.
And so then the integration of this Zozobra, the burning of Zozobra as the kickoff of the Fiesta de Santa Fe, did that start in 1926 or was that later that kind of integration took place?
Well, Zozobra caught on very quickly. And so for many people, the beginning of Zozobra began the fiesta celebrations after 1926, beginning in 1926. But the popularity of Zozobra has continued to grow, and it's to the extent that we're going to see tonight 25-plus thousand people at Fort Marcy Ballpark to see Old Man Gloom go down in ashes.
So do you remember, what was the first, share with us your first memory of going to Zozobra as far back as you can go?
Well, it's very vivid to me to this day, actually. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I went to my first Zozobra burning, and the only word I can use to describe that experience for me was shock. I, at the time, couldn't understand what was going on. It was very difficult for me to process it as a 4 or 5 year old. And later on, as I went to school, we would make little Zozobra drawings in class, and we'd make little Zozobra puppets.
Construction paper hair.
Yeah, you remember those. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us kids felt like we identified with Zozobra. We felt like we personified him as a true, a living being. And so the idea of him burning was horrifying to us as children. We didn't understand the symbolism, and we actually got to be very familiar with Zozobra. So based on that, the story had been bumping around in my head for a while, the idea of, well, what if a couple of kids took this into their own hands and decided they weren't going to let Zozobra burn this year? And so the two main characters in my story, Elvis and Peppa, decide that they're going to take their uncle's tractor in the middle of the night and go down and tie Zozobra up to the back of the tractor and drag him up into the national forest and hide him. And basically that's the essence of my story.
And so how does that project go for your two characters? What are some of their trials and tribulations, shall we say?
Well, there's a lot of trials and tribulations. This is a very big undertaking for a couple of 10-year-olds. And so they go through a lot of soul searching, and they make a lot of plans, and they sit downtown on the plaza in front of Woolworths, and they buy a bunch of gumballs, and they decide we're going to figure this out. And so they go through with it. Based on moral righteousness, they feel that this is not the right thing, that Zozobra has to be saved this year. And they accomplish their mission and drag him up to Hyde Park. And then it takes a few twists and turns, and without giving the entire story away, I think that people who read this story will relate to being a child and having this idea of a consciousness of morality in the world and how things should be right. And sometimes we look at the adults and think, they're not doing it the right way. They're not doing the right things.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. I'm speaking with Andrew Leo Lovato. He is the author of the book Elvis Romero and Fiesta de Santa Fe, featuring Zozobra's Great Escape, with this short story about these two kids who set out to save Zozobra one year. Join the conversation. Let us know how you felt about Zozobra when you were a child. Was it something that you were afraid of? Did you have concerns about Zozobra's well-being when you were a child? The number to call is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866, or send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Another question, have you as an adult thought about taking your children to see Zozobra, and what were your thoughts on that? Did you have concerns about your children perhaps being afraid of Zozobra, or concerns about what kinds of messages this might send? We got a call from a man named Tim Schuster, and we asked for some KUNM listeners to call our listener comment line and leave us a message about their early experiences of Zozobra. And I don't know if Tim Schuster is related to Will Schuster. I don't think so, because he doesn't mention it in the message, but we'll keep that open for interpretation depending. Let's hear from Tim Schuster. He left a message for us.
I am Tim Schuster, semi-native of Albuquerque. When I saw Zozobra burn for the first time, I was in my infancy in terms of acculturating to New Mexico. I found Zozobra extremely frightening because it was very clear to me that it was inspired originally by burning at the stake. And it seems to me, and I think should be obvious to almost everyone, that it represents a person being tortured, groaning, and screaming in a fire. Thus, it clearly evolves from the sadistic impulses of European colonizers of America. I am not of the politically correct persuasion that would argue that it should not be shown in public because of its sadistic background. Rather, I think we should acknowledge the sadistic roots of our myths and things like burning up gloom and bad luck, when actually in our deeper ideas we are clearly thinking of burning up someone we don't agree with. Rather than talk about this less, I think we should be talking about this more and exploring it more fully. That is my response to first seeing Zsuzsa Byrne at the tender age of 31.
So Tim talks about being 31 the first time he saw Zsuzsa and how disturbed he was. Is there, in your research, Andrew, is there a link between the history of the creation of Zsuzsa and this idea of burning people at the stake?
No, I really don't see that connection. I really do believe that Will Schuster and his cronies at that time saw this as a symbolic act, the act of burning the bad luck, the gloom of the past, and it wasn't personified. Some things to keep in mind about the burning of Zsuzsa is that it actually, for many Santa Feans, is a release. It's a catharsis, a citywide catharsis. Many people actually take paper to various locations to be burned in Zsuzsa, things like divorce decrees and bills and things that are part of their gloom from the past year. So in a sense, it's a burning of gloom, not a burning of an actual person. And there's a lot of benefits that come from the Zsuzsa burning. The Kiwanis Club in Santa Fe raises $250,000 or so, and this goes to helping with scholarships and with programs to help the youth in Santa Fe.
Give us a call. 277-5866 is the number in Albuquerque. You can call toll-free 877-899-5866. Share your thoughts on Zsuzsa, perhaps an early memory for you of seeing Zsuzsa in Santa Fe. We have a caller, Mike in Santa Fe.
Hello, this is me.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Let's see. I had a fairly traumatic childhood experience with Zsuzsa. When I was five, I went with my mom, and I'm sure other people remember this. In the old days, they used to use tires for his eyes, and, you know, of course, they would catch on fire. One of the tires fell off Zsuzsa, rolled down through the audience, and hit a four-year-old kid that was standing next to me. He was covered with, you know, molten rubber, and they couldn't, you know, horrible burns all over his body, and they couldn't get an ambulance in. Now, obviously, they've made it a little safer, but, you know, I think that, I mean, I've spent a lot of time in Europe, and I know that, you know, in Europe, they spend a lot, people come down, you know, from wherever into these big public spaces and kind of let off steam, and the police and they, you know, the people bash each other up, and then everybody goes home feeling better. And, you know, sports are like this, and I think Zsuzsa is like this. And I can see a place for all that in society. But it is a weird, interesting part of the tradition that, you know, people come down to the plaza and get killed. Now they've...
Well, you're talking about the event that took place. Was it in the 80s, Andrew, when there was a shooting on the plaza when Zsuzsa was held on Friday night?
I am talking about that.
Okay,
Now, conveniently, it's sort of been pushed to the south side of town. But, you know, there is this sort of violent aspect of the whole thing. And there is an aspect of human nature that needs to kind of release. And it is focused on that, whatever Will Schuster intended, you know, that's what it's become. I mean, I grew up here. I've got billions of stories, like, you know, the time that 3,000 Hells Angels showed up and everybody took acid in the 70s and, you know, got horribly violent on the plaza. And, you know, I mean, there were a lot of these instances. And I think it's cool that it's downplayed a little bit. I'm afraid to take my kids. You know, we watch it from afar, for sure. And I don't mean to be totally negative either. I am kind of sentimental about it as well, but not the violence. And I think I agree with that caller that was saying that I think as a community we need to talk about the need for a release and almost a violent release, you know. And I think that, you know, a ritual where you get rid of gloom and doom and kind of, you know, you feel this weight lifted and all that. I think that's a good thing in society, you know. But it's also this, you know, it's complicated. It's a complicated part. It brings out a complicated, difficult part of human nature. And I think that that's, you know, it's hard to talk about.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for your call this morning.
Sure.
I'm going to take another caller. Let's go to Sharon. I think Sharon's calling from Santa Fe also. Good morning, Sharon. What would you like to bring to the conversation today?
Good morning. I do believe that Zozobra is a wonderful pagan ritual. I personally question whether young children should be exposed to it. I have a granddaughter who was absolutely terrified by Zozobra. But what I'd really like to bring is the true history of Zozobra, which I'm amazed no one has talked about before. I happened to be in Zurich, Switzerland, quite a few years ago, and there was a big celebration. They called it the Burning of the Berg. And by the way, Will Schuster grew up near Zurich, Switzerland. It was a giant papier-mâché puppet. He was the symbol of all the evil things of the year. They burned him every year. He moved, he groaned, he was white. He was made out of paper. And it was exactly Zozobra. And he had been built and burned for hundreds and hundreds of years. Switzerland is obviously a much older place in place of tradition than Santa Fe, New Mexico. And our Zozobra is a duplication of this old ritual.
You know, I'm looking at stay on the line with me for a minute, Sharon. I'm looking at an interview that was conducted by Sylvia Loomis with Will Schuster. She talked to him in 1964. It was part of an interview for the Archives of American Art at the Smithsonian. And this is information that I found on the Zozobra website. But in the interview, he does talk about talking to a newspaper man from Zurich. Will Schuster says in the interview that the practice, again, as you pointed out, of a kind of a cathartic burning of an effigy of gloom is a very old practice. And he says that there was a newspaper man from Zurich who came to see him one day and wanted to know all about Zozobra because they in Zurich burn a large figure of what they were calling Old Man Winter each year, which sounds like it's probably the same thing you're talking about, this kind of old man who represents all of the bad things in a given year.
It's exactly. I mean, I was just amazed how it's exactly the same, and that Will never really quite admitted. You know, he claimed responsibility for inventing this ritual, which is a great pagan ritual. I don't think children should be exposed to it, but he imported it from the old world. And, you know, I think it's important to acknowledge that it is not, you know, the creation. It is, you know, a translation.
Great, Sharon. Thanks so much for your call this morning.
You're welcome.
Let's take a quick break. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. In the studio joining us today, Andrew Leo Lovato. He's an author of the book Elvis, Romero, and Fiesta de Santa Fe featuring Zozobra's Great Escape. And we'll be right back to take more of your calls.
Support comes from Saggio's, homemade real Italian pizza, calzones, pasta, salads, and desserts, serving Albuquerque and the UNM community since 1968. Saggio's encourages support of public radio KUNM on Cornell Southeast across from UNM and at saggios.com.
KUNM programming is supported by the law firm of Rothstein, Donatelli, Hughes, Dahlstrom, Schoenberg, and Bienvenue, with offices in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Phoenix since 1976. For information, rothsteinlaw.com.
Fall is the time for major house cleaning, but it's also the time to clear the driveway, the garage, or the yard of that unwanted vehicle. Help yourself and KUNM by donating that old car or truck today. As long as it has an engine, it doesn't even need to run. It just takes one phone call. That's it. You don't have to do anything else. We handle everything from there. Your vehicle gets towed away, you get a tax receipt, and a KUNM membership. Just call 888-KUNM-CAR. 888-KUNM-CAR.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and we're talking about zizobra. We've been discussing some of the historical background of zizobra and the beginning of the practice in Santa Fe, kicking off Fiesta de Santa Fe. In the studio today, joining me, Andrew Leo Lovato. He's the author of Elvis Romero and Fiesta de Santa Fe, featuring zizobra's great escape. It's a book that has some really great photos in it, some early photographs of zizobra in some of the early iterations, smaller zizobras, and some great photographs of children around zizobra. And we've heard from some callers concerns about the impact of zizobra and some of the violent implications of burning an effigy. We'd like to hear from you. 277-5866 is the number to call this morning. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. Perhaps you have had a happy experience at zizobra that you'd like to share. As our callers have pointed out, there's mixed experiences that have happened during and around zizobra. Let's go to Kevin in Albuquerque. Good morning, Kevin. You're on the air. How would you like to contribute to the conversation this morning?
Good morning. Yes, I'd like to share a pair of memories, if I may. I first saw zizobra when I was 7 years old in 1972. And for some reason, I think my parents must have done a good job of explaining, or it might have been the fact that I had a classmate whose father was the voice of zizobra. I got from the first moment the idea that this was an effigy of, that there's a representation of all of our bad thoughts, all of our worries from the year, and that what we were watching was our worries going up in smoke and not the idea of a person or a human being burned. We even got to a field trip to see zizobra being constructed, which got all the kids excited. So I don't think, for some reason, yeah, my earliest memory at the age of seven was incredibly joyful. The crowd was a little scary, but the actual event was wonderful. And my other memory, my favorite memory of zizobra was as a teenager, must have been 81 or 82. By that time, my friends and I were too cheap to want to actually pay to get into the park, and we would climb up on the hill, sneak up on the hillside behind to watch it kind of off to the side. And I had a pair of friends, classmates, who were blind from birth. And I remember going there, climbing up on that hillside with my friend Raul, who was blind, and watching it there, and becoming very aware of the crowd, because I was guiding this kid who was blind, completely 100% blind, through the crowds and everything, but realizing that, you know, the crowd was alive. And even though there were a few edgy characters around us, for the most part, even though it was a noisy, rowdy, boisterous crowd, the whole feeling was very upbeat, very positive. And it was just a lot of fun, you know, being there on the hillside. And, you know, of course, he couldn't see it, but he was experiencing it in all the other ways. And then meandering through the fiesta crowds for must have been hours afterwards, buying food on the plaza and trying to navigate through that densely packed crowd with Raul just, you know, following me by keeping two fingers on my elbow as we wandered through the crowd. It would have been scary if this were, you know,
if you
hadn't
had the context
somewhere. I think I would have been afraid, but it wasn't. For some reason, the feeling was incredibly upbeat and cheerful.
Great, Kevin. Thanks so much for your call this morning. Andrew, your comments on this kind of, there's this dichotomy of experiences that people have had.
Oh, sure. I'll read a little short section from my book that sort of talks about my memories of Fiesta. It basically says, Santa Feans may remember during driving to Fort Marcy Field in the mid-60s. You could actually drive that. There was many less than 25,000 people at that time. When admission was $3 per car and having picnics on the grass and listening to the mariachis play. They may also recall the mesmerizing scene of the Quetzalcoatl dancers, the white robe glooms, and finally the fire dancer wearing red, white, and blue streamers, taunting zizobra before lighting the fuse to set him on fire, to yells of burn, burn, burn.
Well, and the glooms have always been, there's always been children dressed up as glooms, these little ghosts that kind of run around the base of the Zozobra puppet. And as the kind of tension builds before the puppet is actually burnt. So there's been this way that, that children in the community have been incorporated into the actual process itself, in addition to helping build the Zozobra.
Well, it's quite an honor to be one of the dancers or one of the glooms, and it's children, you know, will vie to have those positions during the Zozobra. So it really is an incredible event in many ways, and if you haven't experienced the Zozobra, it's worth experiencing at least once in your lifetime.
Let's go to one of the callers who left a message for us about her first experience with Zozobra. This is Carrie Young. Let's hear from Carrie Young.
Hi, my name is Carrie Young, and I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico. So my first experience with Zozobra was last year. My husband and I had just moved to the area, and somebody told us we had to go to Santa Fe and check out this giant marionette burned to the ground. So at first we thought, that sounds kind of weird. But the more we thought about it, we thought, you know, it could be fun. At least it'll make for a good story. So we headed down, and, you know, I'm really, really glad we did because we had a blast. My favorite part, I think, about the whole experience was just the energy of the crowd. All 40,000 people that were in Port Marcy Park that night were so excited, screaming at the top of their lungs, just excited to see Old Man Gloom burn to the ground. So it was just a really neat experience, and we'll definitely be there again.
Carrie Young is a volunteer here at KUNM, and she and her husband took a video of Zozobra last year, and we pulled a little bit of audio from that. Here's a little bit of an excerpt from Zozobra 2010. You can hear there's a kid in that crowd who is yelling, burn him," which I certainly remember doing when I was a child going to Zozobra. I grew up in Santa Fe, and my mother's house is within walking distance of Fort Marcy Park, and so we often our street was full of cars from people who would park to walk up to Fort Marcy, and I have some memories of after Zozobra, having a little bonfire in the front yard and roasting marshmallows and giving them to people who were sitting in their cars in waiting to get out of our neighborhood in the Zozobra traffic. Zozobra for my family was always an opportunity to get together and have a meal together and spend time together, kind of bring our disparate lives together into one place, especially as I became a young adult. And I want to hear from one other of our callers. His name is, I believe it's Roberto Robal, and he called in and left a message for us about his memories.
My name is Roberto Robal. I was born and raised in Santa Fe. My family's been there for hundreds of years. My first Zozobra was when I was 2 weeks old. In 1951, my parents took me. Apparently, I slept through the whole thing. Back then, in the early days, you could drive your car up to Fort Marcy Park and just park there, get on the hood, take picnic lunches, people would take their beer, and everybody had a great time. And it's changed a lot since. They've really tried to limit people going there. They're doing that now. They changed it from Labor Day weekend to the following Thursday. They've made all kinds of changes trying to protect the tourists from the local folks, and I've always resented that, but I've only missed one Zozobra burning in my lifetime. I was stuck in California, and I've always had a wonderful time going to Zozobra. I just wish we could go to the plaza afterwards like we used to in the old days and continue the partying, but there's parties around after that. I always go to my mom's. She always has the best pozole before and after Zozobra. Those are some of my memories. Thank you.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking about zozobra, your childhood memories or perhaps concerns about how zozobra might affect children. Let's go to Mickey in Santa Fe. Good morning, Mickey. You're on the air.
Hi. I was going to say that I think zozobra, especially since they've cut the number of tickets to 25,000, I think it should be limited to adults only. My daughter went and I went when she was about 7 and both got really, really sick from the fumes. And also, I let her go again when she was 15. She came home and throwing up all over the place. And I think the fumes are a bit much for children or people who are chemically sensitive. And I know people don't like to hear that, but it's true. And also, I think that it's more of an adult event. I mean, you know, it's for burning your gloom and your, you know, hardships. And I think that's more something that adults need to do. Adults don't have enough to do here in Santa Fe. And I think it's a wonderful thing, you know, if you can stomach the fumes. And also there's tons of people smoking pot and drinking. So it's a little rough for kids.
Thanks for your call, Mickey, and thanks for your point about fumes from the actual burning of the puppet. Let's go to another caller, James in Albuquerque. Good morning, James. Thanks for your call today.
Hey. Hi, good morning. I just want to start by saying I love your show. I listen every day, and I would totally disagree with the last caller. You know, being born and raised in Santa Fe, I think zozobra, you know, is for kids, and kids have glooms, too. It's kind of selfish to say that only adults have them. And I remember when I was little, my mom making my, you know, fiesta shirts with the traditional ribbons and stuff like that and going and seeing zozobra. So that was just my comment. I just wanted to say, like, you know, it's kind of selfish to say only for adults. I remember being young and really enjoying it. So,
do you have a specific?
That's all I wanted to say.
Do you have a specific memory, James, of a particular time? Maybe how old were you, and what do you remember specifically about being a kid and going to zozobra that you loved?
Well, I just my dad was a cop, so I remember going every year and seeing him. He didn't really enjoy it because he had to do crowd control.
He was working.
But, yeah, he was working, so my memories are really just going down there, you know, saying hi to him, and then going with my family and just watching it burn.
Great. Thanks for your call, James. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Charles. Thank you. Charles in Santa Fe, good morning. Thanks for your call this morning. You're
morning.
On the air.
Good morning. My memories are of my parents having me at the Cross of the Martyrs, watching it from afar, and it was a unifying moment with them and with my friends. And as a child, I didn't have an issue watching him burn or watching the event. And then I felt like as I got older, I kind of graduated and made it to the baseball field when my brother and sister would take me down there. And it's not any scarier than Halloween or any other ritual that we have in our society. So I don't see why children shouldn't be allowed or should be discouraged. There's some violence in any kind of big event.
Do you have kids, Charles?
Yeah, and I probably won't take him to the baseball field until he's probably about 6 or 7.
Yeah. What is your thought on the age? Why do you decide not to take him to the baseball field until he's a little older?
Well, I just feel like he needs to be at an age where he can decide whether he can understand what he's seeing a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And can make a decision on his own if he wants to be there.
Great, great. Thanks for your call, Charles.
Sure.
Let's go to Andres. Andres, are you calling from Rio Rancho this morning? Maybe we lost Andres. Maybe he'll call back. How about Ed in Albuquerque? Good morning, Ed. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. I remember when I was an undergraduate student at UNM, this must have been mid-60s or so, we went up to Santa Fe, and that was during the time when you could drive your car into the park, and as a previous caller said, everyone would just sit on their hoods of the cars and have a picnic and watch the festival. And at what I remember about, especially about one time we went, is they had a fireworks display. And so the fireworks were being shot up in the air, and everybody was doing the usual oohs and ahs as they exploded. But then the wind changed, and the fireworks actually drifted over the crowd in their cars. And so the fireworks were exploding over our heads, and there was a lot of burning shrapnel kind of falling down, but as I remember it, no one was hurt, and everybody had a great time. And then it was, as another caller said, after that, everybody just migrated over to the plaza, and it was a great time. I think it was one of the high points of my undergraduate years.
Great. Thanks so much for your call, Ed. Andrew Leolovato, has there been a shift over time in the safety precautions that are taken during the burning of Zozobra? We've heard a couple stories this morning about people being a child being injured, or, you know, this, as Ed just explained, fireworks kind of flowing in over the crowd. Has that changed the way that the burning of Zozobra is designed and undertaken?
Yes, there has been a definite emphasis on safety in recent years. And given the numbers of people who attend Zozobra and the entire fiesta, even though there are some incidents that happen now and then, it's been remarkably free of these kinds of injuries and things of that sort. And I think part of the reason that we in Santa Fe react to things that happen is because the community sees itself as being very cooperative and a very safe community. So sometimes when something doesn't quite go right, it's highlighted much beyond, let's say, being in a community where these things happen on a regular basis. So I think we're much more sensitive in Santa Fe to things such as safety and everybody having a good time.
What about the influence of the increase in tourism in Santa Fe? I know a few years back, Santa Fe was, you know, number one top tourist destination in the world. We're probably still up. I mean, I'm from Santa Fe, so I think but still up at the top of that list of tourist destinations. How does that impact the way that Zozobra is, you know, held and planned for and organized, the fact that there may be a lot of people who are not from Santa Fe who want to go?
Well, I think before when the fiesta was held on Labor Day, it's been shifted, and it's now the after Labor Day. I think that was much more of an issue. Now, the Santa Fe Fiesta is much more of a local or New Mexico community event, and there's not so much of a tourist infiltration of the fiesta. And so I think that the tourism aspect doesn't play a large part in the Santa Fe Fiesta, and that was a purposeful change that the fiesta made, was to change the date to make it smaller and more local.
Let's take a quick break. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and I'm speaking with Andrew Leolovato. He's the author of the book Elvis Romero and Fiesta de Santa Fe, featuring Zozobra's Great Escape. We'll be right back.
The third annual Ain't Got No Frijoles Blues Festival in Las Vegas, New Mexico, September 16th and 17th, starts with a party at the Plaza Hotel, Friday 8 p.m., with Wayne Roper and Unfinished Business and the Kenny Skywolf Blues Band. Saturday, it's in Old Town Plaza Park, 1 to 7, adding Jeff Romero and the Rainy Morning Blues Band, plus the Albuquerque Blues Connection. Info at LasVegasNewMexico.com. A message from the tax-exempt Casa de Cultura.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're talking about Zozobra with Andrew Leolovato. And you, KUNM listeners, let's go to Jason in Albuquerque. Good morning, Jason. How would you like to participate in the conversation this morning?
Good morning. One of the things, I grew up, I was born into the Zozobra tradition, and I just always loved it as a kid. I would watch it from the amphitheater that was to the west of it. And it's just so simple, but it's so elegant. It's a great pagan ritual. You had the Gulamis come out. You had the Boy Scouts with their bonfires. And then you had the fire dancer. He came out. And that was always fun to watch. And then the fireworks, of course, as a kid, was just fantastic. And so, you know, it wasn't, you know, maybe only 2 months prior, you had the 4th of July. So you got to get all of that once more again.
Do you have specific memories of Zozobra, Jason, like one given year where something particular happened or where you have a specific memory of who you were with or perhaps the gloom that you were expecting to be burnt away?
No, I never really had any gloom as I was growing up. For me, it was just a child's awe and excitement to see something like this.
Yeah.
But I do remember that one year, it was a rope or, a piece of wire had burned through that was holding Zozobra's head, and it fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened after the fire dancer had already exited, so that was good. But I remember seeing that specifically from the amphitheater going, wow, that was weird. Never expected to see that.
Great, Jason. Thanks a lot for your call. Let's go to Maureen in Santa Fe. Good morning, Maureen. Thanks for joining the conversation.
Good morning. Thank you for the show. And this has been a lot of fun because I grew up in New Mexico. My family's been in northern New Mexico for hundreds of years as well. It's great to hear all the locals call in. I had my own trauma of Zozobra at a young age and continue to go back as an adult. But I guess my comment is more about some of the callers who have expressed concern about Zozobra being violent. The pagan tradition certainly is what it's all about, and its roots are in European tradition. I just think it's interesting because probably a lot of those callers are people who go to the movie theater and watch very violent movies where violence is affected on people by people, and their children or family members probably play very, very violent video games. And I think that's more problematic to the human condition than watching a paper puppet burn that's very symbolic and intended to bring about a fun feeling, a not joyful feeling, but just an excitement and good feeling rather than the alternative.
Great, Maureen. Thanks a lot for your call this morning. Let's go to Joseph in Albuquerque. Good morning, Joseph. Maybe we lost Joseph this morning. Let's go to, how about Todd in Santa Fe? Good morning, Todd.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Lovato.
Good morning. Good morning.
I just wanted to quickly share a story that about kind of the electricity of the crowd. And it was about 10 years ago, and Zozobra had finished burning, and we were all in those kind of traffic jams in our cars. And I looked over to the other lane of kind of the exodus that happened after Zozobra, and I saw, you know, a girl in black curly hair, and I said, hey, I know her. She's in one of my classes. I was a student at UNM at the time. And so I waved to her, and the traffic was at such a slowdown, we were able to talk. Anyway, long story short, she ended up coming in my car, and 10 years later, she's my wife. We've been married for 5 years. So there's a lot of courtship and a lot of community things going on when you get that many people in one place. And so I just wanted to share that particular story.
Hey, Todd, I understand that my guest, Andrew Leo Lovato, is your dad.
That's right.
So,
and I don't think he knew about that story.
Really? Did you not know about that story, Andrew?
I didn't know the specifics. I learn something new every day.
How fascinating. Well, Todd, do you remember the first time that you went to Zozobra when you were little?
You know, we used to go so often that they all just kind of blend in together. But as a kid, what I remember most about Zozobra is just being so excited that there were so many other kids around me just running around. And I remember always just wanting to cross the bridge over and over again. So my memories go back kind of into this blurry childhood event that, you know, where Zozobra and just chanting Burn Him really loudly and having a good time. But it was always just something to look forward to every year.
Super. Todd, thanks a lot for your call this morning.
Thank you.
We're taking your calls this morning about Zozobra and your experiences or thoughts on Zozobra. 277-5866 is the number to call locally here in Albuquerque. 877-899-5866 is the toll-free number to call if you're outside the Albuquerque area. Let's go to Anhara in Tasuke. Good morning, Anhara.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for joining us.
I had a lot of ideas about the Zobrek because I've been here all my life. And one thing, when I was really young, about 12, I just remember being really sad about the Zobra. And I like the idea that we're bringing up, the idea that children need to be compassionate, you know, and I think the sort of the Buddhist compassion of the book that Adi Lovato wrote is, it brings up something wonderful in us to be compassionate. And then the other thing I was thinking is that, like in Las Golden Drinas and Las Cienega, they used to burn an effigy of a witch, and it would come sliding down the wire into the fire, and they banned it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I really thought about, you know, maybe if they banned Zobra as the way it is, they could actually have it, make it into a giant puppet theater and make it really fun, you know, because I think that children really love puppets, and but they could enjoy, you know, stories and all kinds of, you know, like a puppet workshops, and I think that's what, you know, children see puppets as real. They don't really yet distinguish that things aren't real. And then another idea that I had was just that they put political things on it, like putting the emperor's face of Japan and putting hitchhikers, and like if they did have to burn an effigy of Gloob, it shouldn't be a Hubit. I think it should be a blob or some sort of non-human, you know, abstract thing.
Great, Anhara. Thanks. Thanks so much for your call this morning. I'm going to get to one more caller, possibly two if we can, before the end of the show. Michelle in Albuquerque, good morning. Thanks for joining us. If you can keep your comment short, but how would you like to participate this morning?
I just wanted to call in and say I am a native Santa Fean, and I just wanted to briefly comment about the whole magic of the Zobra. It was absolutely fabulous, and my recollection is my mom, who made the best snacks in all the world, would pack us all up in our jammies, and we would watch the splendor from the car up on the hill. And it was just a wonderful time, and lots of family, friends, and truly a community event took place. And those are always very fond memories for me and all of my family, cousins and relatives and everyone.
Super, Michelle. Thanks a lot for your call. We're going to take one last call. Mila in Albuquerque, if you can keep your comment short, we're right at the end of the show, but I wanted to get you on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to, this is actually for my son, Charles. His memory is, he's 12 now, but he went through the Santa Fe Public School System, and Gonzales Elementary every year took their students to see what color the Zobra's hair was going to be. So his memory, he said, was, I wonder what his hair is this year. And he talked about, you know, walking there in the afternoon and seeing what it was like. So he knows, you know, the feeling of fiestas. So that's just a comment.
Yeah, and do you know what color Zobra's hair is this year?
No, we don't live in Santa Fe anymore, so that's what his little question was. But
what color? Sometimes it's green, sometimes it's orange, sometimes it's red. Andrew, do you have any secrets as to how the hair color is decided for Zobra?
I haven't a clue.
Any last thoughts as we get to the end of the show today? We've been talking about the Zobra and, you know, a lot of different memories, both traumatic and magical, that people have shared with us this morning.
Well, I would just say that a good pagan ritual once in a while can be a great thing. And, you know, our society is so infused with influences from pagan cultures and you know, becomes part of our holidays, part of, even though we're not aware of it, part of our overall consciousness. So I think Zobra is a pretty neat thing.
Great. Andrew Leo Lovato, he is the author of Elvis Romero and Fiesta de Santa Fe, featuring Zobra's Great Escape. Thanks for joining us for the KUNM call-in show this morning. You can check out our podcast by going online to KUNM.org. You can send us emails with comments about the show and also ideas for future shows. Call-in show at KUNM.org. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Elaine Baumgartle. We had Kevin Smith engineering in the studio today. Mike Hess was screening your calls, and Andy Lyman was producing from the studio. Thanks so much. Jalisco.
Over 50 and looking for thought-provoking activities? Oasis is the answer. It's like college for adults, with no tests or long-term commitments. Oasis offers classes, trips, and performances in a tantalizing array of subjects. Pick up the fall catalog at libraries, senior centers, or the Oasis office upstairs in Macy's at Coronado Center. Visit oasisnet.org/Albuquerque or call 889-0927. A message from the tax-exempt Oasis.
This is New Mexico's community-powered public radio, KUNM and KUNM HD 89.9, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, KRRT 90.9, Arroyo Seco, Taos, KRRE 91.9, Las Vegas, KRAR 91.9, Española, and KBOM 88.7, Socorro. Online at KUNM.org.
Simona Dinnerstein is a marvelous pianist, but when I spoke with Dinnerstein recently,